Welcome back to the fifth season of Smouse in the House. I'm Jacqueline Knott, co-founder of Adventures in Americana, a media outlet with a mission to celebrate Americana artists and live music venues. We spotlight Midwest and indie or emerging acts through articles, videos, and more. In this podcast series, our host, music journalist and photographer Tom Smouse, visits artists to talk songwriting, hear a couple of their songs, and find out about the places they live, work, and create.
Welcome to another Smouse in the House presented by Adventures in Americana. This is the podcast where we're the guest. My name is Tom Smouse, and today I'm inside the home of Siri Unlin and Luke Callen here in the Powderhorn neighborhood. Siri, aka Humbert, just released Right on April 12th, and Luke's album, Also Going Nowhere, was released on February 1st. I highly recommend both of these albums to purchase and absorb, not just because the music and production value is very well done, but because both of these artists are true advocates for the importance of storytelling and work hard in our community here in the Twin Cities. We have the unique privilege of chatting with these two that share the same roof to explore this environment and kind of how it plays into your music. Thanks for inviting me in today.
Yeah, welcome. Absolutely.
I love that there's creeks and like this house has creeks and you walk on the like house noises, I think, are home. When I hear that, I just think of home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this house kind of sings. And creeks.
Yeah.
Both. Yeah.
Well, you both like tour and gig and are out and about all the time. So when you are home, what does this space mean to you and how does it feel like to be able to come back to this, I guess?
Mm-hmm. No, you go first.
Okay. I think with any sort of traveling, whether it's with music or with any sort of career, there isn't a nice part of it that is in the back of your mind that you're going back to a place that you're kind of grounded and rooted in a community that you have. I think it helps me navigate spaces in a more curious way when you maybe have a place to go home to and a place that you know really well and surrounded by people that know your name and say hi to you on the street. When you're out in a strange place, I think it definitely helps. Because I've also had it the other way where I've been in a van for 2 years and I thought that would be really... It was a very curious time in my life, but I really longed for just, like, some place to root down a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think both Luke and I share that we've moved a lot in our lives. I mean, I'm from the Twin Cities, but have, like, moved apartments every year of my life, kind of. But this place where we're at now, we've been here probably the longest. Either of us have lived in a place in our adult lives, and that's kind of a cool thing to sink into. And by long, I mean we've been here like three years. Like, but it feels like, oh wow, we've really settled down now. But
especially if you've moved and you travel a lot, 3 years is a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's surprising. But it's a great space, and we love this neighborhood a lot, so...
When you come home from doing music, does this become easier to write in a space like this? Or do you come home and like shut down the business side of it and go about other things in life? Like, does this home become an oasis that makes it easier to write? Or is it, or do you feel like this is a space you're like, you know, I'm gonna write when I'm out, or I'm gonna write when I'm traveling? Is there one spot or the other that you do your most writing in?
I definitely write more at home. I'll do a lot of like journaling on the road so I don't forget things that literally happened. It's easy to forget, but I don't do much songwriting until I get home. And I think this space is pretty fluid in the sense of like there's a piano, there's instruments on the walls, but also it's a space where you can just zone out and stare out the window and read a book too. I don't know that I feel pressure to be creative here, but we've set it up in a way where if an idea strikes, you can grab an instrument pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think this is a space where I do a lot of practicing and a lot of sort of woodshedding on instruments and fleshing out ideas. Mm-hmm. I think with me, with songwriting, there's never really one place that I could be like, I do most of my songwriting, you know, on the road or in a coffee shop or at home. Thinking back on all the songs, they all come from very different places of, you know, physically where I am writing. So this space for me, I mean, it's nice to come home. We have a really quiet street with a lot of flowers and a great park and two of the best cafes in Minneapolis with May Day and Modern Times. So it is kind of like I come home I'll noodle a lot on the guitar, go get coffee, see some friends or see, you know, whoever. And it's a great space for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Little plug for Mayday and Modern Times.
Yeah, no, I love that. I mean, that's part of what we want to bring to our listeners as well, is like mm-hmm. those neighborhood gems that if you're in the area, that you need to go check out. Well, Siri, I think back to our discussion with your prior album, Still Life, which was basically literally all created within this home.
Yeah.
All these different rooms and stuff. What part of that process, you know, coming out of shutdown and now with this new album out here, what from that process did you take into the creation of this album? And was it written in that same sort of format? How did that change with the new album?
Well, Still Life record was written in a house like three blocks from here. Yeah. So we're in a different house now. And I would say that the record that just came out right on is way more of a road record. It's almost like the pendulum swung. And the Still Life record was so like domestic in many ways, like exploring the beauties and the profundity of just ordinary home moments. And also like global events that were just, you know, life-changing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this next record is very much like, what am I learning on the road? How am I changing by all, like through all this movement? So it's kind of the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
I think.
And Luke, it's your third full-length album.
Yeah.
That process of making an album, when you get to the third one, are you to the point where you feel like, all right, I have a system in place, or are you someone that wants to change that process when you make an album every time?
Mm. I wish I had a system in place.
Fifth album. Let's say six or seven.
I think the first couple studio attempts that I had, it was really, I felt a lot of just like pressure to do it, like to create like a body of work. And I think I really stand by both those records, but I definitely like hear a lot of me working out my own voice in them, and maybe not having enough patience to sit back and work on things a little bit harder, maybe not harder, but just work on things differently, flesh things out a little bit more. But yeah, I definitely can hear myself finding my own voice. And I feel like with this one, when I hear it, I feel like I'm hearing a more comfortable songwriter and singer than I have in the past. And so I think it's this, if anything, this record has been like Luke has learned a lot, and he is never not going to be learning a lot, but I feel like it's less of a, I know how to do this. It's more that I've learned a lot since my last two, and I'm looking forward to moving forward with that in mind. Yeah.
I read too that a lot of what inspired you was the medium vinyl, of writing this in a way that it makes sense to have two sides and, you know, explain, I guess, how does that change your process on maybe choosing what songs go where and what songs to record when you're really kind of thinking of that end product?
Well, I just love the format. It's my favorite format for listening to music outside of going to shows, and I really believe in it. And so, yeah, I knew I had these songs that I wanted to record, and I honestly think we didn't do anything that we were going to cut. Like, I had 11 songs, and I didn't know where they would be ordered. I just knew that this is going to be listened to on vinyl, so make some choices in that manner. So there's probably a lot more like guitar solos than, you know, would be on like a more indie type thing, but I wanted people to enjoy it with their friends or by themselves. I wanted people to stop halfway and maybe go have a smoke or have a drink or something and then come back and listen to it, or just listen to one side and move on. And yeah, this, I knew what songs I wanted. I didn't know what order we were going to do them until after everything came together. But yeah, I just love the format. I love the communal listening experience. Yeah.
Well, you both have written obviously by yourselves, but now that you're in this same home, how does that writing process work? Are you sharing ideas? Are you asking the other person? What do they think? Do you stay I'm really curious to know like how much you two kind of play back and forth with that?
It's a good question.
It is a good question.
Sort of a long answer.
We were just laughing a little bit because we were kind of discussing. It is like a topic that kind of, it doesn't come up like a lot, but in preparation for this interview, we're kind of thinking about it. And we have a very...
We work really hard and we prep for days for every interview.
Well, we were just thinking...
That's what you were doing.
We do have this kind of like the long-running joke where we'll be talking about something or we'll be doing an activity together and maybe a conversation will go one way or the next. And then, oftentimes it ends up in... someone's song.
Okay, Luke's being nice. Like, it's me.
Yeah,
Siri I'm does, the one who like
Siri does yank.
We'll
some
like
things,
we'll but... like have a talk, and then like later that day, I'll literally write things that Luke said. Yeah. I think I do admit it though. Like, I don't.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not like stealing your ideas. Like, if you're talking in the song, I'm usually giving. I'm like saying that someone else did it. You.
Yeah.
But.
That's just a sort of a lighthearted joke that we have. But I think with this space, we honestly, what we talked about earlier, which is just what this space is used for. Yeah. And because we're often on the road, when we're here, the two of us, it definitely is a lot more like we should go for a hike. We should oftentimes go for a hike.
Yeah.
This is something we like to do. But just enjoy the space, enjoy the community, enjoy the downtime, listen to music, make a lot of food, you know, go, another plug, go to the Chatterbox, hang out.
Yeah.
The local tourism board.
I mean, just 30, just this sort of region, but...
At 25 an hour, he will take you everywhere.
It doesn't really happen that we're like... writing together. We had our friend Wolf von Elfman. He was visiting, and the three of us wrote a song just goofing around. But
then, I think our collaborations when we're both home tend to be like pretty goofy, actually, which is fun when it does happen. We should do it more.
Do you hold ideas from each other because you're like, I'm not ready to share this because.
Yes.
so there are things in your guys' wheelhouse that you're working on that are held back. Because you're like, I'm not ready for that point of view or for that criticism or for that ability to be vulnerable with an idea.
I think you're more careful than I am, but I'll show you stuff and be like, I don't want to hear criticism right now.
Yeah.
I'm just showing you something I'm excited about. So we've like learned, I think anyone who's
special language.
In a partnership, like whether it's romantic or friend or whatever, if you are around each other enough and you're both working on things, you do have to like preface certain things or just because sometimes I am looking for harsh feedback. I'm like, why does this second verse suck? And Luke, you have listened and been like, how about you switch this word out? And it's like, in some ways it is co-writing. It's just so casual, and it's like while one person's cooking dinner, another person's like, what rhymes with it doesn't happen that often, but when it does, it's cool. It's just more fluid than maybe other like co-writing situations.
Well, you both have like friends and bandmates as well, so what's that process when you're working on a song? Like, is there a direction that you always follow? Because each one of those people have a chance to influence and maybe make the idea a little different. So what's that process like of deciding where it's going to go? You know, is it based on the song? Is it based on the person?
Yeah. Usually for me and the folks that I play with, because I play with a lot of different people, a lot of different musicians that come and go. Whenever I bring them songs, I just tell them no train beats and keep it groovy. And that's kind of it. Yeah. Chris Gray drums with me almost exclusively, like not exclusively with me, but he's a drummer I've played with for a long time. And then bass and lead interchange quite a bit, but Patrick Horgan and Taylor Donsky have been playing as of late. And I really trust all those people a lot to hear something that will sound good and to kind of just like put it down. And I mean, Patrick, I don't know if he plays the same thing, you know, every night, you know, it's, I mean, I know he doesn't, he just is very inventive player. Taylor is really holds it down and has some great bass lines. So I just really trust, and Chris just is a great drummer. So I just trust everybody, but that's how I just say no train beats really.
I think something that Luke and I both have in common, though, is that the songs are done when we bring them to a band.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think, like...
By and large.
Yeah, it's not that a song is ever really, like, capital D done, but I think there's the time when you're writing the song, and sometimes there's someone in your periphery, whether it's, for me, it could be Luke or a bandmate, and I'll be asking questions, or like, what do you think of this? That's the writing part. But usually I want to feel super confident in the song before I bring it to a group dynamic. Because you have all these awesome ideas flying around, but if you're not really solid on who the song is, I don't know, not to anthropomorphize the song, but I do it all the time. And I want to be like sure that I know it before I get other people mixed up in it.
So by the time that Pat or Pete get a hold of it, it's more... Mm-hmm. It's more them deciding what the tone of the guitar that they want to get, the part that they want to lay in there and kind of take the song and flesh it out on the sound more.
Yeah, the arrangements. Definitely. Yeah. Anyone I'm playing with, I ask them to be there because I think they're awesomely talented and I'm pretty hands-off with arrangement. Train beats are allowed. If it's
I'm
the
just
right
joking.
For me.
It's a joke.
I know.
But I do say that.
Every time.
Yeah.
Well, I want to share, Siri, one of your new songs, Blueberry Bog. There's a shout out to the infamous 331 Club.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously a very good friend of the Twin Cities in that song as well. When I heard that, it actually kind of pulled me back to one of the times that I fell in love with your music by sitting in that place during the pandemic when it was coming out of it. And we did a one-on-one show in there for a fan. And I just...
Yeah.
It is a really special place here in the Twin Cities. So I guess
it is.
Take me to the creation of that song and what inspired you to kind of work that into it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny that we are talking about this song with your earlier question of where do things come from, because Blueberry Bog is one of the songs that Luke and I joke about a lot, that I just kind of... What's the word? I didn't steal it.
I didn't steal anything.
But
no,
basically...
I just took you to Blueberry Bog. I took you to the 331.
Okay. Well, I feel like I need to correct the record a little bit because Luke moved here to hang out with me. We can just say that on the record, right? So, like, I took you to the 331.
Okay, this seems like a derailment.
Okay, sorry,
sort of
I'll
like
get it.
Weird,
I'll get it back
weird,
on the rails. Yeah. But basically, Luke was wanting to go hiking at Blueberry Bog, and I was like, sure, I guess I'll go, but I was kind of grumpy.
Yeah.
And then often, Luke is like, hey, let's head out. Let's go see what's going on at the 331. And I'm usually like, I'm cozy on the couch, but fine. I'm kind of grumpy sometimes about leaving home. But then, you know, a week of that, and then I come back, I'm like, I wrote a song. And it's like about going on a hike and going to the 331. And so we laugh about that one.
Yeah.
Being like very much Luke getting Siri out of the house is the secret subtext of that song. But it is a celebration of this city and the community of musicians. And a special shout out to Mikkel Beckman, who I think is just such a connector of people.
Take me to Blueberry Bog. I'll take the trail straight through the fog. The end time's on everyone's mind. I've been having these dreams for a long time. You see the heartache from miles away. All the wild water's rising. You got debts to pay. You're not waiting on a savior. You're doing okay. Finding silver linings threaded through the day. At least today. Take me to my favorite booth on the northeast corner of 13th Avenue. Mikkel's on the stage with somebody new on a perfectly average Sunday afternoon. I feel the heartbeat from miles away. All the wild water's rising. I got debts to pay. I'm not waiting for a savior, but I'm doing okay. Finding silver.
You're listening to Smouse in the House, presented by Adventures in Americana. I'm sitting here with Siri Unlin and Luke Callen inside their home here in Minneapolis. Well, you both have ties back to La Crosse, Wisconsin. What made you decide on Minneapolis to kind of be your home base? Because I know that you spend a lot of time over there. So what brought you to Powderhorn?
Well, we were living in Northeast when we first moved here. When I first moved here, I was living in my van. And then in winter, I'd go back to La Crosse. I was kind of hanging around Colorado area. Go back to La Crosse.
Which is where you're from.
Which is where I'm from.
Yeah.
And yeah, at the time Siri was playing down there, and yeah, we met, and I really was missing home and missing the Midwest. I don't think I really had realized it at the time. So yeah, that was the series of events of like putting a capstone on my Colorado time, meeting Siri, relearning and re-falling in love with a place. And yeah, La Crosse is beautiful. We still spend a lot of time down there. And Minneapolis, there's a lot that makes sense about this place. Yeah. And there's a lot to love about this place. Like, even if you just leave out the music and the things to do, I mean, I just went on a really long bike ride around town. There's a lot of art outside of music available to take in. And generally a pretty easy town to get along in. So,
yeah. I mean, have you lived in Colorado as well?
Yeah, I lived in Madison, Wisconsin for a handful of years, and then Colorado for about 6 or 7 years. I had a band out there.
Yeah.
And then my van for about 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other than maybe like clothes that you purchase, you know, when you live in these different cities on a music side of it, do you take things with you from these cities that work their way into your songs?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it a hard thing to identify what that is? Because I mean, the whole kind of theme that we have behind this is like, if you two were in California, how would your music be different?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to say, you know.
Probably less aware.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Sorry. That's my bad. That's my bad.
But I mean, like, is there a true identifiable Midwest sound? And, you know, for you both that have traveled and you tour and you're all over, I mean, what is that sound? Is it something that can be identified in music?
That's a really good question. I think it's hard to answer because at least in a city like Minneapolis or Chicago, like, there are all these little niche pockets that sound completely different. I think both Luke and I are most well-versed in the folk, Americana, alt-country realms of genre, that weird Venn diagram of things. And I think there definitely is a Midwest sound in those genres that we both gravitate towards as listeners as well. Like, we're not talking about, like, there's other regions in the U.S. that have really distinct tradition, and I think that the Midwest is maybe a little more subtle and a little less yelling about it, but I think there is a style here.
I would just say I think it's like an honest sound. There's a lot of, I think that there's just something, an awareness of the Midwest, awareness of like place, like I am sometimes a small fragment on this huge planet, but I need to like know my neighbor. I need to get along with people. That just kind of generates into a more nuanced sort of way of life. And yeah, I think the sound is honest. I think it's, you look, go from like Charlie Parr to Kaylee Conway or Cass Quick down in Chicago. You know, there's just like some people who are writing, like they're all writing different music. I mean, but they're all writing just very honest music. Yeah. And I think that's what the sound is. Yeah, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Hey, you both, you know, obviously have influences in your life that on a musical side, whether you grew up listening to and stuff, now that you're writing and you're in the same home, do you have those moments where you're saying to the other, how do you not know this person? How has that worked its way in? Like, you know, have you found an artist that he's keen to that has worked its way into something that you've wrote or maybe how you decided to record something?
Yeah, I mean, Luke, you're really a student of the tradition of like American music, I think, in a way that I haven't been as serious about. So you've taught me a lot. I think my listening has, like, who I listen to like casually while I'm driving or just hanging out has really changed since Luke has shown me so many great songwriters, particularly from Texas. Actually, I feel like, Luke, when I met you, you were like, oh, you've never heard of any of these guys? Like, and I got an education that I really wanted. I it's like totally changed how I think about songwriting. And I more so I was coming from like pop music and country pop music growing up. And it was really cool to finally dig in a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty, I think that's just like such a fun part of music is like this, I don't even wanted to call it like discovery, but it like just, yeah, the sharing that goes on with just like, hey, like you can meet some people that are like, I can't believe you haven't heard this. And you're like, hold on, it's a big world. There's a lot of music, you know, like it's okay that you haven't listened to all these records or whatever. But yeah, I just love that part of music where it seems like every artist that you listen to can take you down a pretty wild rabbit hole. And with the advent of like Wikipedia and YouTube, you know, for all their problems, for all the problems of the internet, like there are some really cool tools to just like, you can really get close to the source and then, you know, do some of your own digging that I just really love. Yeah, we share music. Oftentimes Siri shares like,
you don't like really like my music.
No, it's not that. It's like, it's more like when we're driving and Siri's like, let's check out, I want to show you this, you know, and it's like Icelandic, you know, like death metal acoustic, you know, like big, just metal. Like, it's just like huge
stuff. I do love it. I mean,
like, I don't know if this is the vibe for the drive down the Mississippi River right now.
Ripping the wheel extra hard now.
It looks like this is interesting. Could you just change it though for right now? Yeah. Like, which I think we both share the role of like showing each other things and then also like totally missing the mark. But I feel like I tend to put on, I'm a worse DJ. Let's say that. Like, I don't like read the vibe as well. And I'm
I will say that one thing that's cool is sharing some like American folk trad singers or just like actually like the actual people who sang like old American folk tunes. And Siri has a, like a really depth and wealth of knowledge in the British Isles, UK song and folk tradition. And so there'll be a handful of tunes. They'll be like, oh, that's this other song. Like, I know the, you know, the Scottish ballad, which this song is based on or something, or the melody is the same, but the words are a little different. So that's a cool, that's happened a couple times. It's always fun.
Yeah, that is cool.
I want to turn our attention to one of Luke's songs, Tomatoes from the Vine. Luke, talk us through this track. I feel like when I listen to it, I feel like I'm at a home, right? I mean, there's a story and a message that it just kind of pulls me back into that. So is this written about a specific location or a time in your life?
Yeah, this is written specifically about my time in Fort Collins, Colorado, and the community that I was in. And yeah, I just tried to sort of distill some of the day-to-day of a very, just like a really, I don't know, it was a really cool time in my life and a very, I don't know exactly how to describe it, but it wasn't easy. It wasn't like casual or anything like that. We all were working really hard, but we just had such a really cool group of musicians. I mean, every night you could go to somebody's backyard and people would be sharing songs or just picking. And a lot of like young people, I was probably 23 when I moved there. And just a lot of people learning together and really no sort of idea of what we were doing. It just wanted to do it. So it was really cool. And we'd bike everywhere. We'd go play music everywhere. We'd go up to the canyon. And the line is, the tomatoes from the vine is off and on would volunteer at this farm. And I just had those mornings working on the farm and then going swimming and then going to play music were just like, those days are just awesome. So yeah, it's kind of just a little sort of the classic reminiscing sort of tune. Yeah.
I've been thinking about all my yesterdays, the once been running through the haze. Sunshine everywhere and a careless canyon wind. Echoes seem like time stood still. Always find a way. Every dog from the neighborhood. Turn the nights to days, strumming nothing new. Until we carry it off to the woods. Every time I eat a tomato from the vine, I hear that old hammer.
Listening to Smouse in the House, presented by Adventures in Americana. We're sitting here with Minneapolis songwriters Siri and Luke inside their home here in Powderhorn. Well, I'm curious to hear from each of you, now that you're listening to each other's music and you're writing a little bit together and you're just kind of working ideas off of each other, I want to get kind of each other's take on that artist. So Siri, give me kind of what you find. We're going to start this way. What do you find that he really does well that you've learned off of throughout the process about his style of music? Mm. And then, Luke, you have time to actually think about this.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things that come to mind. Now that, like, I know Luke really well, I don't know if this is fully answering the question, but I really admire how much... I'm looking at you, Luke, so I'll say you. I admire how much you practice. I think that's something that not all musicians do, but you, Luke, really... I mean, I should practice more. I feel like a lot of people feel like they should practice more. But Luke, you really show up every day. Like, every day I'm like, oh, there he is playing. I can hear you practicing. I can hear you playing. And I know that's maybe not, like, the most glamorous thing to compliment you on, but I think it's amazing how much you show up for the craft. And it's really inspiring to me. And I think when it comes to your writing and performing publicly, you just keep it really real. And it's super refreshing to just hear songs that accurately reflect a place and a time, but are still steeped within a tradition. Like, you're a student of the tradition, but you're not pretending you're living in some other era. You're very, like, grounded in the present moment. So That's what I think on the spot.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of like a little bit of a therapy session. I know. Or
you're very welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Siri is one of the hardest working musicians that I know.
Oh,
and that's not like, forget all the touring and the shows and the writing and all that kind of stuff. Just, I've really watched Siri work very, very hard. And I think a lot of people who are both spectators of this world and also participating in it kind of like have no idea that there's like the other side of this music world is like on computers, in meetings, talking with people. Just endless hours of a lot of work. So, I mean, I think, yeah, I am always very inspired by just like the sheer amount of work that she puts into her music.
Yeah.
I think the, like the risk taking in particular with this new record and the live show is really impressive. Like I love going to see Humbert shows just for where we're going tonight, how, like, just the nuances, the dynamics of the show. It's really impressive. And also just the craft of a song. I feel like Siri and the band does a really good job of packing so much into 3.5 minutes and, like, a lot of emotions, a range of emotions. So, yeah.
Aww. Yeah. Thanks, Luke.
That's amazing. That's really cool. When you're out, like, seeing each other play, you obviously, you know the person a lot more, and you kind of hinted on this, like, you now know that, like, okay, what he's singing about is coming from an authentic voice, you know, like, you know him more. But what is that feeling like when you're up there on the same stage and you're performing with each other?
Yeah, we honestly don't perform together very often. No. Yeah, it's pretty rare.
Yeah.
I love it when it does happen.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah,
we have a good time.
We did the UK Ireland tour together, and that was a lot of, I mean, it was hard not to have a good time over there and like really appreciate the space. But yeah, those were some fun nights. We worked up a little set together, and
that's true. That was really fun.
That was really fun.
I think we are both, I hope this doesn't sound like a brag, but we are both like really seasoned performers. Yeah. And I think when you're a band leader, you're in many ways accommodating where everyone on stage is at. Mm. Like, how comfortable are they? Where are they at today? And I think both Luke and I are just having so much experience as band leaders on our own. When we're on stage together, it's sort of like relaxing. Because this is someone who I know that Luke has it down and will communicate if he doesn't. It's just sort of, it's almost like there's just breathing room, because I think we both know we're professionals and we've seen crazy things and we've told each other about them. And when you're on stage together, you can just kind of relax and enjoy singing. Yeah.
I want to give everyone a chance to kind of write on their big open calendars when to catch you guys next. Give us a little insight of where you're going to be the next couple weeks, couple months, what you have on your schedule this coming summer and spring.
Yeah, I'm going to be just getting back from Colorado, and I'll be going out on a tour to Oklahoma this summer. I'm going down for the Woody Guthrie Folk Festival I'm going to be doing some dates around that in July. And then one thing that I'm really excited for is on August 15th, we'll be doing a show at the Ice House with Claire Doyle. And that'll be a really fun show.
Fun.
So,
I hadn't heard about that yet. That's awesome.
It's kind of going to be a little busy in June and July elsewhere. But we'll be back in town in August.
Cool. Yeah, that's on my check.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we love Claire's music a lot.
Yeah.
For Humbird stuff with the new record coming out, we're on tour pretty much for the spring, and for the Twin Cities folks, we're going to be doing an album release show at the Turf Club on May 31st, and it's going to be awesome, and you should come and bring all your friends.
And that's kind of at the end of your tour, right?
Yeah, we used to kick off album release tours at home as like a celebration, but over the years it was like, what if we get really tour tight and like the best we could possibly sound and then treat this hometown audience that has supported us so much. So that's we're kind of switching it.
I follow bands like that too, where I'm like, I want to be at the tail end of the tour.
Yeah.
Because stuff kind of gets worked out. You get a little tighter in some ideas and it's just, I mean, there is a difference from the first shows to the last.
Yeah. Their eyes might be a little hollowed out from tour and fast food, but the music will be great.
Yes. It will be great. Well, thank you both for having us in today. This is really special for me and, you know, I know for Adventures in Americana as well.
Thanks for coming by.
Yeah.
We're really
such big fans. So it's really cool.
Well, we're big fans of you, and I feel like, I don't know if you get as many shout outs as you should get on this podcast, but just so everyone listening knows, Tom Smouse in the House does so much to support the music scene around here, and you have for years. You've had me play in your backyard.
It's true.
Like, you always show up and you do a really good job at the projects you have, but you're also an awesome human to hang out with. So that's my
like
Tom Smouse shout out.
Right. Oh, I'm blushing. That's thank you so much.
Yeah.
Well, it was a pleasure, and we'll see you both out there. I'm excited to catch both those shows, all of the shows.
Ooh. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks.
To see exclusive photos of our guests taken at the interviews, visit adventuresinamericana.com. You can explore more Americana music through articles, videos, events, and more on our website, or by following Adventures in Americana on Instagram or Facebook.
Smouse in the House is produced by Adventures in Americana co-founder Carol Roth and hosted by Tom Smouse. Our theme song is Riding Home by Minneapolis artist LK. That's E-L-L-K-A-Y-E. You can find more of her music on SoundCloud and YouTube. Join us next time as we visit with Gabriel Roderick, a.k.a. Freak, creator of his own dark and entrancing dirt folk genre. Thanks for listening!